Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. This summer, we are in a great series entitled Friend of Sinners, Why Jesus Cares More About Relationship Than Perfection. We are all reading together the book Friend of Sinners, written by Rich Wilkerson Jr., and I believe that God is doing a fresh and new work in your heart through this book and through this series, and I know that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Today, we're actually wrapping up our summer series in our Friend of Sinners, and this has been the big idea for us this summer, and that is this, that God cares more about you than he does your sin. Oh, you missed an amen opportunity right there, okay? God cares more about you than he does your sin. Because you see, the book says Jesus is the friend of sinners. He's not the tolerator of sinners. He's not just putting up with you. He's not waiting around hoping that you can get some things together in your life so that one day you might possibly be friends. No, no, no. He is a friend to each and every one of us. Jesus is the friend of sinners. And hopefully this summer, like myself, you have been overwhelmed with the goodness, grace, and the love of Almighty God. I hope you've been overwhelmed by the fact that God sees me exactly where I am and God loves me today for who I am. I hope today that you would say, man, this summer has been transformative for me because that's what God's love does for us. God's love transforms us. You see, we are not transformed when somebody judges us harshly. We're transformed when somebody loves us lavishly. And that's what God does. God loves us so abundantly, and we are transformed by his love. And I just believe that as we have gained a clear understanding for how God has loved us, that it's going to change the way that we love others. As we understand how God sees me, it's going to change the way that I see others. And today we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read in verse 1 and 2, and the scripture says this: imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because, everybody say because, yes. Because you are his dear children. Now let's just notice this. He doesn't say imitate God so that you might be one of his children. He doesn't say, hey, fall in line with your behavior so that you can belong to God. No, he says you need to imitate God, and the reason you need to imitate God is because you already belong to God. It says in verse 2, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Today, I want to speak to you on the subject of imitate and elevate. Imitate and elevate. Let's pray. Father, I ask in the next few moments that you would do what only you can do. God, mold us and make us into everything that you created and designed for us to be. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody in the room said, amen. Amen. You know, so much of our life is really built on imitation. I mean, let's think about fashion for a moment. Fashion is simply built on imitation. Somebody created a trend, and then everybody imitated that trend. Think about entertainment, movies. Somebody decided to create a superhero movie, and now we can't stop making superhero movies. I mean, folks, when we're making movies about Aquaman, we have gone too far. But so much of life is built on imitation. Business is built on imitation. Somebody has a successful business, and what do people do? They begin to follow that business model. Even in families, families are built on imitation. Your children will imitate the actions of their father or of their mother, or even some of the siblings will imitate their older siblings. So much of life is built on imitation, but there is a very, very important principle that we need to grasp this morning, and that is this, that there can be no imitation without observation. There can be no imitation without observation. We observe and then we imitate. We observe fashion, we imitate fashion. We observe in our family, we imitate our family. We observe in business, we imitate in business. And this works exactly the same way in our spiritual lives. We observe God, we observe other leaders, we observe, and then we begin to imitate. After all, that's what the Apostle Paul said when he said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Paul was saying, "I have observed Christ, and I'm trying to imitate him, so you can observe me and try to imitate me, and in so doing, you will be following after Christ." So this summer has been a summer of observation, if you would. Every Sunday, we've been observing the character of Jesus. We've been observing the heart of Jesus. As we have been reading in our book, we've been seeing the very behaviors of Jesus. We've been watching Jesus as he loved, watching Jesus as he forgives, letting Jesus show us the way. And so the scripture that Paul writes in Ephesians 5, he says, "I want you to imitate God." I love the way that Eugene Peterson puts this in the Message translation of the Bible. I'm going to read it to you. These are the same scriptures we read a moment ago. And he says this: "Watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us." Remember, there's got to be observation before imitation. "Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that." See, Paul is writing this letter to the church at Ephesus, and he's challenging them, imitate God. Watch what he does. Pay attention to how he loves and how he serves and what he sees. Pay attention to that and then live like that. And you see, the first thing that Paul really draws our attention to for our observation and then our imitation is how much Jesus loves us. He says, "This is what you got to see, and this is what I want you to imitate. Pay attention to how much Jesus loves you, and then I want you to love others the way that he has loved you." See, the Apostle Paul is talking about love all of the time, and probably one of the most famous scriptures about love Paul wrote, and it's in 1 Corinthians 13, and maybe you've heard this read in weddings, but it always starts at verse 4, where the scripture says, "Love is patient, and love is kind, it does not envy, and it does not boast." And maybe you've heard that read before, but today I want to back up the tape a little bit, and let's look at those first three verses before we get into that wedding scripture, starting in verse 4. This is what the scripture says in verses 1 through 3 in 1 Corinthians 13. Paul said, "If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all the mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, 'Jump,' and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor, and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love." So our observation of how he loved us should transform our imitation of how we love others. See, our observation of the greatness of his love for us, that should transform us, and it should also transform the way that we love others. And so, as we kind of wrap up this series, I want to give us today two love lessons that we learn from Jesus. Two love lessons that we learn from Jesus. And here's number one. Number one is, meet people where they are. The first love lesson that we need to learn from Jesus is meet people where they are. Now, as we've made our way through the summer, we talked about Zacchaeus, and Jesus met Zacchaeus right where he was. He was stealing and taking advantage of God's people, but Jesus met him right where he was. We talked about Mary as she showed up to the tomb after Jesus had already told him, hey, in 3 days, I'm coming up out of the grave. If you come knocking, I'm not going to be answering because I'm not going to be in there. And even though Mary still came to the tomb, Jesus was still there to meet her in her moment of pain and in her moment of confusion and in her moment of disappointment. Jesus met Matthew as he was sitting behind his tax collector's booth. Jesus was always meeting people where they were. And that's exactly what we should do as well. We should meet people where they are. But this morning, can I just give you two very real things that will keep us from meeting people where they are? And I want you to write this down. I think it's going to really be a help for you as we begin to imitate the way God has loved us by loving others around us. Two things that are very important that will keep us from meeting people where they are. The first is this: I can't genuinely meet people where they are if I privately mistreat people for where they are. I can't genuinely meet people where they are if I privately mistreat people for where they are. You see, this is what the scripture said in the verses that we just read. It says, so no matter what I say, no matter what I believe, and no matter what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. I am bankrupt. That means I have nothing real to draw from. I am internally bankrupt. My spirit and my soul is bankrupt. Means there is nothing in there. So if there is nothing in there, I can't draw what I need in the moment to love the poor. I can't draw what I need to love the mistreated. I can't draw what I need to love the ostracized. I can't draw out what I need to love the person in the moment because I am bankrupt on the inside. And the moment that I need to draw something, there's nothing for me to draw. You see, I cannot authentically act out what I can't take out. I can't act it out if I can't take it out. And what will happen is, oh, no, I can say the words and I can do the activity, but here's what I know: my words will always be empty. My faith will always appear a little bit phony. My actions will always be a little bit pointless because I'm acting out of something that is not in me. I cannot act out of something that I can't take out. And this is why I can't mistreat people privately and make fun of them and tell jokes about them and have all of these opinions about people here and then step out here into the world and be like, hello, hey, how you doing? Oh, yeah, I can't, because people will sniff that out. And that's one thing that will keep me from meeting people where they are, is because I'm spending time mistreating them in my private life. You see, this is why Jesus changes who we are and not just what we do. Jesus changes who we are and not just what we do. Jesus makes us a brand new creation, because just changing a few behaviors doesn't change us enough so that we can love our neighbor the way that he loved us. This is why he said, I gotta start all over with Philip D's. Because Philip, I can't go in there and just make a few little tweaks on him. I can't go in there and just give him a few behaviors to add, because he will never be able to love his neighbor. He will never be able to love that person that talks bad about him. He will never be able to love that person that annoys him. He will never be able to love that person that lies against him. He will never be able to love his next door neighbor. He will never be able to love them the way that I have loved him if I don't start from scratch. That's why God comes in to make us a brand new creation. That's why Christianity is not behavior modification. It's not enough just to say, oh, if you just change this and just change this, everything will be good. No, Christianity is about destruction and construction, that you would die to yourself so that you might be reborn, so that God can build you from the foundation up, that you might have a chance to be who he wants you to be. See, let me just tell you something that really helped me, something that really helped me in this process, okay, of not mistreating people privately and then trying to act genuinely around them. This is something that really, really helped me. This is a question, and you need to ask, what question are you asking? How do people see me, or how do I see people? It's a big difference. How do people see me, or how do I see people? If you're only asking how do people see me, that's all about my behavior. But how do I see people is all about my being. And God is not nearly as concerned about what you do as he is about who you are. Because you can get out there and fool somebody out there on the street, but whenever you get home, guess who you can't hide from? You can't hide from God, and you cannot hide from yourself. So we have to ask ourselves, not how do people see me, because that's all about what do you say about me and what's my reputation. Well, my reputation to you is simply going to be how I have performed around you. And I can put on a great face and a great smile, and I know all of the words, and I can make do with all of those things. And so my reputation, the way you would say how you see me, might be one thing, but who I actually am privately might be something else. So the question that I have to ask is not how do people see me? That's not a sufficient question. I've got to ask, how do I see people? How do I see people? Because that's about my being. How do I see people? It's not enough for me to just focus on my behavior. I've got to focus on my being. You see, we cannot genuinely meet people where they are if we privately mistreat people for where they are. Eventually, that's going to break down for us, okay? Eventually, that's going to break down. Eventually, that's not going to be good enough. And now you might say, let me just say this, is that you can use behavior to help change your being, though, okay? You might not feel it in the beginning, but you can start serving somebody. Say there has been people that you have mistreated. I don't know what that might look like for you. Maybe somebody in your office place, maybe somebody with a type color of skin, somebody with a certain ethnicity, and privately you have mistreated them. Okay, one of the best things you can do is you can go start to serve them. And as you begin to start to serve them, your mind will begin to change about them, whoever that them is for you in your life. And so you might say, well, I don't really feel it in the beginning. Listen to me, you can use your behavior to change your being. But if you just give the behavior with no intention of changing who you are, it will only lead to frustration, and eventually it will lead to failure, because it'll break you down. And here's the second thing that will keep you from meeting people where they are, and it is this: I can't actually meet people where they are if I constantly retreat from where they are. I can't actually meet people where they are if I am constantly retreating from where they are. Let me just be honest this morning. People are in messy situations. People are in messy situations. People are in messy situations in their life. They're dealing with divorce, dealing with severe depression, bitterness, betrayal, hatred, rejection, homosexuality, adultery, addiction, fear, anxiety, panic attacks. People are in messy situations, and it's so much easier to ignore the mess than it is engage the mess. So much easier to retreat than to meet. But when we actually meet people where they are, and when we actually engage them, listen to this. Your conversations will get more complex, but your life will be more complete. Your conversations will get more complex, but your life will get more complete. Why? Because you were created to live on mission. And when Jesus said, go into all the world, Jesus knew that the world was a messy place. And he knew that your hands would get dirty, but he also knew that your soul would find victory. And he said, go into all the world. Go into every messy situation, and sure, your hands might get dirty, but your life will find destiny. Your hands might get a little dirty, but your soul is going to find victory. Why? Because you were created to live on mission. Oh, your conversations get complex. Your conversations get so complex that you've never had those conversations before, and they're asking you questions that you've never heard, and you don't have the answer, and it can get really complex. But can I tell you, your life will never be more complete than when you meet people exactly where they are. I mean, what we just read in the scripture was, imitate God. Okay, what did God do in the scripture from Genesis to Revelation? God showed up. He loved people, and he helped people who didn't deserve it. That's the story of the book. He loved people that did not deserve to be loved, and he helped people that were not worthy of his help. That is the story of God. And so whenever the scripture says we should imitate God, this is what we should do. We should show up, we should love people where they are, and we should help people who don't even deserve it, because that's what God has done for us. Now, let me just tell you once again something that's really helped me with this, okay? I want you to write this down because I believe it's going to help you. Here's the question that I ask myself. Am I making decisions based on my personal convenience? If I was just honest with you today, this would be one of the biggest struggles of my life is I love my life convenient. I love to live in a routine and a pattern. And when that pattern or that routine gets interrupted, I don't like that very much because it messes with my convenience. I like life to be convenient, and I've already thought about my day, and I've already thought about my plan, so don't try to come into my day and interrupt my plan with your emergency because that's going to interrupt my convenience. I need my convenience, and so I have to ask myself this question. Because if you're really going to meet people where they are, it's always going to be inconvenient. So I have to ask myself, am I making all of my decisions based on my convenience? And then I came to this revelation and this conclusion, and it helps remind me, Jesus didn't call me into the great convenience. He called me into the great commission. He called me into the great commission. He called me into the great sending. He called me into the great unknown. He called me to go into all the world. He didn't call me into a great convenience. He called me into a great commission. And so therefore, I must be willing to go and meet people where they are, not retreat from them because I know it's going to be messy and it's going to take a lot of time to get them out of that ditch that they are in. So the first lesson that we learn is just meet people where they are. Isn't that what Jesus did? Throughout the Gospels, meeting people where they are. Okay, well, if I'm meeting people where they are, I cannot privately mistreat them, and I can't constantly be retreating from them. I have to meet people in their pain. I have to meet people in their brokenness. I have to meet people in their dysfunction. I have to meet people in their deception, and I make a choice to love them the way that God loved me when I was broken, when I was dysfunctional, the way he loves me today, because I'm still broken and I'm still dysfunctional, and there's areas of my life where I'm still deceived. There's areas and struggles that I'm still working through, and that's how Jesus still sees me today, so that's how I'm going to see other people. Okay, here's the second love lesson that we learn from Jesus, and that is tell people who they can be. First, I meet people where they are. The second love lesson is tell people who they can be. See, after I meet people where they are, I need to tell them who they can be and what their life can look like. And isn't this what Jesus said? As Matthew was sitting at his tax collector booth, and Jesus came to Matthew, and he said, come out from beyond there and come and be my disciple. Be my follower. There was no way when Matthew woke up that morning that he had any intentions of being in Jesus' tribe. And here this day, Jesus meets him where he is, but he doesn't leave him where he is. He says, come and follow me because you can live a different life. That's what Jesus did to the paralyzed man. We talked a few weeks ago. He was brought on the mat by his friends. And when he got to Jesus, Jesus says, your sins have been forgiven. Not just that, now he tells him, hey, now you are healed. He wasn't just meeting him where he was in his pain. He says, there's a life of freedom for you, and there's a life of healing for you. I want to tell you who you can be. See, Jesus met people in their brokenness while telling them about their potential wholeness. He met them in their brokenness was never intimidating Jesus, because as they were sitting in brokenness, Jesus was telling them about their wholeness. Yeah, yeah. Jesus met people in their prison and he told them about their freedom. Jesus met people in their pain and Jesus was telling them about what was possible. Jesus never allowed what it looked like in the moment to determine what it could look like in the future. I'm going to say that again because you need to write that down. Jesus never allowed what it looked like in the moment to determine what it could look like in the future. It didn't matter if Jesus was talking to a prostitute or a Pharisee. It didn't matter who Jesus was talking to. He never allowed what it looked like in the moment to determine what it could look like in the future. Let me just tell you something that I've done that's really helped me out with this in my life. So I don't get caught just meeting people where they are, but I want to tell them who they can be. This has really helped me out. And it's simply this. I don't judge people for where they are because I have already made a judgment about who they can be. I don't judge people for where they are because I have already made a judgment about who they can be. And it comes down to this question that you can ask yourself. What do I see? Do I see a person's faults or do I see a person's future? What do I see? Do I see a person's faults or do I see a person's future? You see, I have already determined. That's why whenever you come into North Point Community Church on a Sunday morning, I have already made up my mind about your future. I've already made up my mind. That's why your sins don't bother me, and that's why your present situation doesn't disturb me. Because when you walk into this place, I already believe that the best of your life can be the rest of your life. When you walk into this place, I have already made a judgment about you. And that judgment is not based on where you are. It's based on where you can go and who you can be. Why? Because I know what God's grace can do for your heart. And I know what God's word can do for your mind. And I know what God's forgiveness can do for your future. I know what God can do for you. So I don't need to know about what's going on in your life. I don't need to know about where you were a decade ago. I don't need to know about all the things that you have done that you're ashamed of. I don't care about any of it because I've already made a judgment about you. That judgment's not about where you are. It's about the future that you can have. So you have to ask yourself, what do I see? Do I see a person's faults or do I see who they can be in the future? What do you see? What do you see in your spouse? You see their faults or do you see who they can be in the future? What do you see in your best friend? You see all their faults or do you see who they can be in the future? What do you see? In your life, what is it that you see? Because what you see will determine what you become. And if I'm looking for people's faults, what do we say around here? You're always going to find whatever you're going to find whatever you're looking for. And if I'm looking for faults, I'm going to find faults. But if I'm looking for a future, I'm going to find your future. And when you walk into this place on Sunday, I'm looking so far beyond your faults. I'm looking so far into your future because I see what God's power can do in your life. I see what God's grace and mercy can do in your life. I see what His word can do in your life. I'm looking through all of the junk and I'm looking into the future. I will meet you exactly where you are, but wherever you are today doesn't scare me because I know where Jesus can take you. See, we should be relentless believers in people. We should be relentless believers in people. Why? Because we're relentless believers in the God who changes people. Somebody told me the other day They hadn't been here in several years, and this was a few months ago, and they'd been gone for several years, and they came back in on a Sunday. And they said, "Wow, you're just so much of a better preacher than you were 5 years ago." I trust they meant it as a compliment. But I hope I'm changing. I hope I'm getting better. I hope I'm not just a better preacher. I hope I'm a better husband. And I hope I'm a better father. And I hope I'm a better friend. And I hope I'm a better follower. And I hope I'm a better leader. Because God is still changing me. Yes, I'm not everything that I want to be, but I'm not everything that I used to be. I'm still in process towards my progress. And we can know that about ourselves, but then we can look at others and we can forget that. What do you see? Do you see their fault or do you see their future? No, you see, we need to be relentless believers in people. Because we're relentless believers in the God who transforms people's lives. Do you know what I want people to say about this church, about North Point Community Church? I want them to say these two things. I want them to say, man, these people will meet you right where you are. There's nothing that you can say that will shock them. There's nothing you can say that will disturb them. You can tell them the worst, deepest, darkest secret of your life, and they just keep looking at you like, it's going to be okay. And you know what else I want them to say? Not only will they meet you where they are, but they will keep on telling you who you can be. No matter how many times, how you fall, they will keep telling you who you can be in your future. So let's don't just stop with our observation of Jesus. Let's don't just stop reading about Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I get a good observation of who Jesus is. No, let's let that observation turn into an imitation in our lives. Because as we begin to imitate his love, we get to elevate his people. And that's what it's all about. It's all about imitation and elevation. You see, I'm not imitating to get a congratulations from God. I'm imitating so that I can get some elevation from those people around me because I'm trying to help people up. I'm trying to help people out of the filthiness, out of the dirtiness, out of the despair, out of the depression, out of the addiction. I'm trying to lift people up out of everything that they're in, and I'm okay to get my hands dirty because as I get my hands dirty, my soul is going to find destiny and I'm going to find myself complete more than ever before. Because that's what I was created to do, to be like him. And that's what God's been doing for thousands of years. Picking people up, elevating people. Come on, get on your feet. Give God some thanks today. Come on. We imitate so we can elevate. Imitate God. Watch what he does. Observe who he is. And then just be him out there in the world. I gave you some handles today because I realize that we can all clap and we can all say amen. And we can say, yeah, that's right. Be like Jesus. That's what I want to be. Has anybody like me discovered that's harder than it is to clap about? That's harder to meet people where they are. That's hard. It's easy to say amen to. It's easy to want to do. But man, that can be challenging to do. It can be challenging. But that's the way Jesus modeled it for us. But Jesus modeled it for us. Well, you go all the way through the Gospels. Read it for yourself. Observe. Observe how Jesus met broken, hurting people. Observe how Jesus loved those that the religious people were getting ready to stone, and Jesus loved her for who she was. Observe. And then imitate. Observe and imitate. Observe and imitate. Observe and imitate. Meet people where they are. And then tell them who they can be. Tell them who they can become. Tell them that they might feel bad today, but today does not define forever. meet people where they are and tell them, hey, I'm going to walk with you. We're going to get this sorted out. If we're going to get this cleaned up. We're going to get this all. We're going to walk together. I'm going to be with you. The same way that Jesus was just with people where they were, calling people. You see, that's what we observe, we imitate, and then we elevate. We observe, we imitate, and we elevate. We elevate everybody around us because of the way that we love them. I can't think of a better way for us to close out this summer if we've been talking about the friend of sinners. We've all said, man, I'm so glad Jesus is a friend of sinners because I'm one of those, and that means I can be his friend. But that love that he has for us, it transforms us. And it turns us into what he is. Turns us into this, a friend of sinners. I'm a friend of the broken and the dysfunctional. I'm a friend to the hurting. I'm a friend to those who don't have friends. I'm a friend to those people. Why? Because I'll meet them wherever they are, and their situation is not going to turn me away. Doesn't matter how much dirt they got under their fingernails, not going to turn me away. It doesn't matter how much trash they got in their past, not going to turn me away. It doesn't matter the streets that they've walked, it's not turning me away. I'm going to meet them where they are, and I'm going to tell them about a God who can take them to places that they never even dreamed possible. That's who we are. That's what we're going to do. We are going to be a house that is filled with friends of sinners. Come on, will you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you so much for your grace. God, thank you that you loved us so completely and so perfectly, so lavishly and abundantly. God, we haven't done anything to deserve that kind of love, and yet you poured it out for us anyway. Today, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you would just be honest with God and honest with yourself, and I'm not going to ask you to step out in the aisle. I'm not going to ask you to come forward today. But just right there where you are in your seat, in the quietness, the stillness, and the darkness of this moment, you would say, Philip, if I was honest, I'm not really living my life in the love of God. I'm living to perform for God, but I'm not really living in relationship with God. I'm not resting in his love. I'm not comfortable in his love. I've been really kind of working to try to get better so that God would accept somebody like me. But today I realize that he has loved me right where I am. He meets me where I am, and he tells me about who I can be, and he lovingly transforms me along the journey. And you say, Philip, today, that's what I need in my life. I just need today to rest in his grace, to rest in his love, and I need to engage God in real relationship the way that he wants, not me performing my way into it, but him meeting me where I am today, in my struggle, in my pain, in my frustrations, in my mess, and letting him love me today right where I am, and living in that relationship. Every head bowed, every eye closed, say, Philip, you are talking to me. That's what I need today. I need God to meet me right where I am. I need to accept his love on his terms, not working for it on my terms. Say, Philip, you're talking to me right now. That's you today. Come on, just slip your hand up right there where you are. I just want to know who I'm praying for today. Thank you so much. Thank you. 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 Now, how many of you today would say, Philip, I want to imitate Jesus today. I want to imitate Jesus. I have observed how he loved, and now I want to imitate the love that he has for me, and I want to love other people like that. You say, Jesus was a friend of sinners. I want to be a friend of sinners. Say, Philip, I want to be the type of person that meets people where they are, right in the middle of their mess, I will meet them where they are, and I will be the type of person that tells people about who they can be. Say, that's the life that I want to live. If that's you today, come on, I want you to shoot your hand up in the air. Say, that's me today. That's who I want to be. I want to be an imitator of God. I want to meet people where they are, and I want to tell people about who they can be. Jesus was a friend of sinners. I want to be a friend of sinners. I want to bring people along this journey. Come on, with that hand lifted right now, will you pray this prayer with me right now? Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. I need your forgiveness today. I confess that you are Lord and you are Savior, and I need you like never before. I'm ready to imitate you. I'll meet people where they are, and I'll tell people about who they can be because of your grace and your power. Father, I thank you so much for each and every person that is in this place today. God, I thank you for all the hands that went up and said, I need to stop performing. I need to stop working for this. And I just simply need to rest in this love. I need to rest in this grace. I just need to let God love me today for where I am. And I need my relationship to start with him right there. God, I thank you that you're doing a fresh and a brand new work today in people's lives. And God, I thank you for every person that lifted their hand and said, I want to imitate God. I've observed him. Now I want to imitate him. I want to imitate his love so that I can elevate people because of his love. And God, I pray that that's who you would make our community, make us friend of sinners. If you believe that today, put your hand together. Give God some praise today.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.